This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. The other day, I went to a play called Jump over at Theater Wit in Lakeview.
Jasmine, I feel like you're the lead actress in this production. Can I say that? Or what can I say?
She doesn't leave the stage.
Okay.
She ain't every scene.
She doesn't even get to change her outfit. Other people changing clothes.
One of the voices you heard there was Amber Montgomery. She is the director of Jump. And the other voice was Jasmine Pryor. She's an ensemble member at Shattered Globe Theater Company. And yes, the lead actress for the show.
I know that you brought the script to the company. How did you come across it?
My friend Spencer gave it to me. He gave it to me and said, like, hey, look at this. I think this is a great play. I read it. I could not put it down. Mm. I sat on my couch and I was like, oh. And I just, it spoke to me. It spoke to, I feel like, something, a lot of topics that everybody can relate to. We'll go through, have seen.
And those topics are pretty heavy. Grief, suicide, family drama. Going into the theater, I thought this was going to be hard to watch. And it had its difficult moments, but it was also funny and ridiculous and a little magical. Like, there's actual magic happening at times. Amber, the director, said she thought the themes were especially important to bring to the stage here in Chicago.
Us looking at grief in a really open way in a Black family in Chicago, I just feel is a really necessary conversation to have. I think there's something about grief in Black communities here and just like talking about it and looking at it and seeing the different colors of it and even in the different stages of life to make people feel a little bit less alone in that experience.
Jump was written by playwright Charlie Yvonne Simpson. And today, Amber and Jasmine are going to get into how the show brings forth everything that comes with grief, including the fact that after a big loss, your world is absolutely rocked and a lot of unexpected situations come up. But also, everyday life is still happening and you got to keep living that too. We'll start with Jasmine.
You start off at the very beginning of the story knowing that their mother has passed away. So it hits you right from the beginning that these sisters are meeting at their childhood home, waiting on dad to get there. Nervousness and like a sister relationship is introduced, but then you aren't really sure beyond that what the situation is going to be, right? And Faye goes into the bridge and bumps into a stranger who's Hopkins, and there's a dance that comes about and Hopkins is smoking and Faye is vaping and conversations are being had and it's a little awkward and funny. And then you go off and then you're back with the family again. And so not until the middle of the play do things start to come together.
Yes.
It's very obscure on what you're watching until the middle and you're like, oh,
the things are making sense.
I mean, I will say that, you know, the character of Hopkins is typically written. It's just like I view him as kind of like on the page. It can read just like a little like bro-y, melodramatic, sad boy.
Yep.
Kind of, which it is, but I'm not even going to take all this credit. I think somebody else had Jeff come in to audition, and Jeff is like a trans person. But, you know, lives as in all of the complexities of their identity. And as soon as he walks into the room, I was like, oh, like this is, A, just given the subject matter, I've just felt like bringing queerness into the world was just like the absolute next step of the world, like of the play. And then just, I feel like he kind of leads Faye to the catharsis that she gets to at the end. And, I think there's like a lot of, I told Jeff this a lot during the rehearsal room, but I think there's a lot of wisdom in people that have found liberation in their queer identities. Mm-hmm. And to have that Hopkins be the person that like carries Faye through that, especially as we're talking about like suicidal ideation and all of this, I just felt it was just so appropriate and important.
Yeah. So this show, I mean, y'all are talking about some of these themes. It's dealing with grief. It's dealing with, you know, these difficult family dynamics. At one point, I shed a tear. Jasmine's masterful performing just brought me there. But in reading the communications kind of leading up to this, I really thought it was going to be a lot more emotionally intense than it actually was. I think when I saw you, Jasmine, right before coming to the show, I was like, ooh, I read it. It looks like it's going to be a little much.
People don't expect to laugh as much as they do. Yeah, it's a lot of humor. Yeah, you got to put the humor in there. You got to. You have to.
I mean, what do you think it is about this show? It's dealing with suicide, right? It's dealing with like strained relationships that can still keep spirits high during the production.
I think it's real.
I think the number one thing I said to everybody throughout the process is like, when you're grieving, at least in my experience and what I understand, a lot of the time you are trying to run away from it. And the play is about Faye running away from it. And what that looks like is like, you know, catapulting yourself in the other direction, which is like humor. And if something is actually lifting your spirits, you lean into that.
Yes.
So I think that really helps Jasmine throughout the process too, because when you can't escape it, then you really can't. But in all the other moments, I just, like Jasmine said, I just feel like it's real. Yeah.
And I think one of the beautiful things about this play is when we think about someone that's dealing with grief, depression, suicidal ideation, you think of like a heavy, sullen, sad. Yes. And that's not how it always manifests in people. You know, you have like high functioning depression, where it's the person you would never even think that would have these ideas because it looks like their life is completely together, you know? That's something that I appreciate about the shows, because it's given a new, not, I wouldn't say new, just like a face that is not usually shown that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I really appreciate about what Charlie has written and the work that Amber has done in her vision for the show.
Yeah. The real component definitely hit. I mean, there are some relationships in here that, like, I don't have, right? Like, I'm an only child. I was raised by a single mom. I don't have nothing with my daddy. I don't have any siblings, right? Mm-hmm, and so, like, but I do have a relationship, right, in my family where, okay, we can talk, but we not going to talk about that.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's what I'm seeing between Faye and her father, right? And it definitely resonated. Even if you, again, don't have the exact prototype or phenotype of what it looks like, you have something like that, and it does feel very real. I also noticed there is audience seating straddling the stage. So there's audience seating on one side, and there's audience seating exactly on the opposite side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely had a moment where I was crying. I seen somebody across crying, and I was like,
yeah, exactly.
I know, girl. I feel you.
Exactly.
Y'all spoke about this really powerful friendship that forms between Faye and Hopkins. It's unexpected. It could have been romantic.
It could have been.
Might be.
Might be
it
romantic. Might become romantic.
Could possibly. Maybe.
The story as it stands doesn't seem to be going that way, as you have portrayed it in your style. Talk about making that choice, leaving it up for interpretation, but probably not kind of situation.
I think friendship is just so powerful. And I think that, you know, the healing and the closeness and the intimacy that could come from, like, when we just see each other. And that just being that hits harder sometimes than I'm doing this because I might want to be romantically involved with you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if anything was, we talked about it a little bit in the rehearsal.
Yeah, and it didn't feel right for it to go romantic. And like, I think there's a beauty in showing platonic friendships where you're like there and you're loving each other and you're very supportive of each other and you don't have to be intimate for you to like love that person and care about them. And I think that's very valuable. And I have like other friends in my life too that I care very deeply for, and we aren't intimate at all.
And those friendships save lives.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like I'm way more likely than romantic partners do. And I think they save each other.
Yeah.
And I kept telling them, like, I don't really care what we're like going for, like what I'm not going into this like this is what I want it to be. I just was always like, let's find the truth of it. Like,
right.
What actually is it?
Right.
And I feel like that's what they ended up with.
Yeah.
There's also this component that I really love where they end up really feeling responsible for each other. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you can talk about this commitment and responsibility to our friends and our family and our fellow man just becomes a part and starts to permeate through this play. How did that feel for you, Jasmine?
Mm. I mean, it felt very personal because life has presented several situations where someone has come to me when they were either considering or have attempted, you know, unaliving themselves or so having that come about in the show, I knew that feeling of that worry and that responsibility just to that person. And they aren't related to you. It's not someone that you're like intimate with, but it's just the responsibility I feel like of humanity. Like, you want to breathe life into that person. You want to tell them, you know, try to show some care and show that it may not feel like it right now, but you're valuable. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I could just sit here and talk to you. We can joke. We can have some food together. We can, you know, sit on the couch and not talk and just read a book, you know, just let them know that they're not alone. And I think that's the foundation of it, of like just a conversation can like change somebody's trajectory really quickly. And it doesn't have to be from who you think it would be from. It could be, you know, from way left, from way, you know, and you're just like, oh, and it just sparks something in you. So, like I said, I think it was very personal because I have been put in that situation several times myself. Yeah. So when I read that, I could relate.
Yeah. Amber, in the play also, this is happening, the responsibility between Faye and her father, right?
Yeah.
And what they end up feeling for each other.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes Faye and her sister as well.
Yeah.
Tell me how that feels for you.
I do know daddy-daughter. And that was actually, that's actually one of my favorite things about this play, because I just was like, no, I know what this is. And I also feel like Charlie did too, just in like the simplicity and how it's written. But what I love most about especially Dad and Faye's relationship is that, you know, you have these two people who their entire lives were not close. And this didn't just happen and make them all close. And I think that I really was like adamant, like, we are not
tying this up.
We are not forcing it. We're not tying it in a bow. And we also, they don't know how to do this. And showing family members, which happens all the time, that are forced to pack up a house together, who don't know, they know they should do something, but they don't know, they don't have the skills. And to watch people kind of like try to do that, I just feel is so interesting and so genuine. And the growth does happen, you know, the stories get told, the appreciation for the other persons in your life does happen, but it's not a fast process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very effortful. Mm-hmm. And I was really happy that relationship was in this play amongst all the like magical stuff that's going on. Dad is the only person that's living in all of the reality of the grief the entire show.
Yeah.
And when Faye's in a room with him, that's what is really happening. And I just think that was such a necessary like grounding force for the show, and also for people that are connecting to the play because they've been grieving, just to also the people that we then gotta
fit into our realities in a different way. And that is the whole other part of living after losing people. Yeah. It's like, damn it, I gotta like take care of you now. Or
after you done said some trash stuff to me.
Crazy stuff. I ain't seen you.
You was talking out of the side.
4 years. Yes. Now we gotta, you know, and it's like, yes. Dang. And I know she would have, okay, like, I guess you ain't that bad, you know. But yeah, seeing all of that was, I think, really important. And I think that Alfred and Jasmine do a really wonderful job at that, too.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. This production is not sci-fi or fantasy per se, mm-mm, but there are some glints of magic. There are some supernatural components that were, for me, who love sci-fi, especially Afrofuturism and sci-fi, mm-hmm, it was like very refreshing. Mm-hmm. Without spoiling things too much, Amber, how did you think about bringing the more surreal parts off the page and onto the stage?
Yeah. If anybody gets a chance to read this script, please do, because Charlie added a lot of that in it.
She did.
You know, the opening, I can say this, the opening stage direction is like vapes continue to fall from the sky over and over and over again. Yeah. Everybody looked at me in my first production meeting like, so what are we going to do for that?
We're gonna do this.
And everybody kept laughing at me, but I kept telling everybody, like, I'm hiring a team of magicians. We're going to figure out how to make this work. And that's exactly what we did. I love magic, like magic shows.
And there's a sleight of hand that you really had to master, Jasmine.
We really went to the magic store and worked with magicians.
Magic Ink.
Wow.
Magic Ink. They figured out, they built the trick for
they
us.
Did. They did.
And yeah, it was, I think real magic on stage was just like, for me, the most appropriate thing. I like theater because it's people up there doing stuff, and you can add projections and lights, and you can do all, like, the bells and whistles, but I guess I'm like a little old school in that sense, where I just want it to be like something cool that the actor, like the athlete and the professional up there is doing themselves.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a lot going on in the script that was up until opening, figuring out like what was just enough, like what's not too much, because it's not sci-fi. You know, you got to tread a line between, mm-hmm, this style is, I think, technically called magical realism.
Okay.
Which is, you have to really tread a line for not hitting the audience over the head with like, this isn't reality, but kind of keeping them, is this really happening? Which is kind of what Faye's experiencing. Like, is this really happening? Is this not really happening? And then when it's not, really leaning into the magic, mm-hmm, and the surrealist nature of the play. So, mm-hmm, coming and seeing this particular group of people, we all got so close and we all really listened to each other and made something that I think only we could have made together. So if you're gonna, you know, don't miss it, you know, because it's never gonna happen again.
Amber Montgomery is Associate Artistic Director at Shattered Globe Theater Company and also Director of Jump. Amber, thank you.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Jasmine Pryor is a Shattered Globe Ensemble member and a lead actress in Jump. Jasmine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Erin.
If you or anybody you know is thinking about self-harm or is in need of emotional support right now, please call or text 988. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Jump is running at Theater Wit through June 1st. You can find more information about showtimes at sgtheater.org. And that's also linked in the show notes for this episode. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve edits the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening to the show. I'll talk to you tomorrow.